I'm not saying you don't ever need to sit with somebody and get biblical principles applied to your life. That's not what I'm saying. There are times when you need that. There are times when I need that. But part of the process should be identifying those people who have fruit in their life. And if they don't have fruit in their life, don't take their counsel. And see, in this instance, you have David who received bad counsel, didn't take it. You have Saul, I think, received bad counsel and did take it.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Senior Pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. On today's program, one of David McGee's assisting pastors is with us. Welcome, Pastor Neil.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you, listeners, for listening in. Today, as we continue to dig through God's Word, we're going to be talking about being careful that we don't take bad counsel or advice. And Bob, do you know the best way to do that?
Well, just if it sounds good to you, just receive the advice, whether or not it's in the Bible or not.
No way, Bob. When we get advice, when we get counsel, it's always good to look at God's Word to make sure that it lines up with the things that the Lord tells us to do.
I think you're exactly right. And let's listen more about that and how that works in our lives as David McGee shares verse by verse through 1 Samuel chapter 26.
So we're in 1 Samuel chapter 26. It says, now the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, is David not hiding in the hill of Hachilah, opposite Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul encamped in the hill of Hachilah, which is opposite Jeshimon, by the road. But David stayed in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. And David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul had indeed come. So David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped. And David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the commander of his army. Now Saul lay within the camp with the people encamped all around him. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul in the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with you. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp, and his spear stuck in the ground by his head. And Abner and the people lay all around him. Then Abishai said to David, God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore, please, let me strike him at once with a spear right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Verse 10, David said, furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go out to battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But please take now the spear and the jug of water that are by his head and let us go. So David took the spear and the jug of water by Saul's head and they got away. And no man saw or knew it or awoke, for they were all asleep because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. Now when I read this, it kind of answered a question because I kind of thought, you know, should David have really been wandering around the camp of Saul holding a spear in his hand, tempting himself? Well, apparently God had led him into the camp because the Lord gave him a heavy sleep. Let's understand something. David was under Saul's authority. He was under Saul's authority. This is his leader. And he's saying, this is the man that God has anointed to be a leader over me in my life. Not just some other person. So I think that's kind of a twist and out of context. But it does mean that whoever's been placed in leadership above you has been placed there by God. Now some of you probably work for ungodly people. And you're going, no way. How could God have this person over me? Well, you know what? God can produce something good. As you live your Christian life out in front of them, maybe it's going to cause them to begin to ask themselves some questions about your faith. Notice what Abishai says when they get there. God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. I think that much is true. But then Abishai makes a mistake. He assumes that the reason that Saul has been delivered in their hands is so that they can kill him. The reason Saul's been delivered into his hands is to test David. It's a test. Remember that. Stuff happens to you in life. It's a test. It's just a test. And you will be tested, friend. And Abishai's going, oh, isn't God good? Let's kill him. What about, see, and here's the thing. You can mistakenly think God is putting you in a situation. Like, friend, let me ask you a question. What do you do when you're somewhere and they give you too much change back?
Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord gives to me and takes from you. Blessed be the name of the Lord, you know?
Some people think that. Oh, they gave me, they gave me too much change. Praise God. Oh, look, I only ordered 4 burgers and they gave me 7. Praise the Lord. Wait a minute. It's a test. It's a test. I remember being convicted. Remember back when there were phone booths? There's not very many of them anymore because of cell phones. But, you know, there used to be a phone booth everywhere. I went to use the phone one day, you know, I was on the phone. And I stuck my finger into the coin return slot. And the Lord said, what are you doing? I'm seeing if there's a coin in there. Did you put a coin in there? Huh? Ooh. I'm looking for something that's not mine, aren't I? God, yep, you sure are. I said, oh, man. And I've been places where, you know, somebody's gave me too much change back or whatever, and I'll say, oh, you know what? You gave me too much money back. And the responses are interesting. I've had some varied responses. I had, you know, one person said, oh, that's very nice, you know. Had another person say, why'd you tell me? I said, well, because I follow Jesus. I want to be honest. I want to be real. They were like, wow. Now, maybe that person had a misconception about who Christians are that I was able to break down just because they gave me an extra quarter, extra dollar, and I was willing to give it back. It was a test. I haven't passed every test, but another time somebody did that, and when I gave the money back, they said, oh, you are such a good and honest person. I said, wait a minute. I'm not really. I used to be a horrible person. As a matter of fact, if you'd have turned your head, I'd have been in the till before, but I'm following Jesus now, and Jesus has done something in my life. He's changed me. And he's changed me into this person who wants to do something right. I have the desire to do something right. So these times when you find a Saul sleeping at your feet, don't automatically assume, oh, praise God, let's kill him. God's given me Saul right into my hand. This is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. It might be a test. Now, I'll tell you what, how we handle our enemies tells a lot about us. So what Jesus was talking about when he said, you know what, pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. That's the test. If you're just nice to the people that are nice to you, no big deal. Everybody does that. Jesus said, but if you love and you pray and you do good to those who are evil to you, that'll show the world something. Verse 13, now David went over to the other side and stood on the top of the hill afar off, a great distance being between them. David's using wisdom. David in this whole situation is acting in wisdom. And notice something too, and let's review. David knows he's about to be king. He knows as soon as Saul's taken off of the stage, he's going to be king. So not only is the thing of Saul trying to kill him, and him being tempted to wipe Saul out, he's also being tempted from the sense that as soon as that happens, he's going to advance in a major fashion in his life. But he's not willing to lose his heart for the Lord, his principles, his ethics, if you will, his integrity, so that he can become king. Makes you think, what are you willing to do to get a job promotion? Make the next step up the ladder. David's not willing to do those things. Verse 14, David called out to the people, to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, do you not answer, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, who are you calling out to the king? Verse 15, so David said to Abner, are you not a man? And who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not guarded your lord the king? For one of the people came in to destroy your lord the king. And this thing that you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die, because you have not guarded your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the jug of water that was by his head. This is an amazing thing. Now notice, David is not being shy about slamming Abner. Are you a man? I mean, this is not, he's messing with Abner. If he's willing to mess with Abner, Why is he not messing with Saul? Because he's still under Saul's authority. So you could go, David was just a really nice guy. Isn't he sweet? Well, no, not really. I mean, he might have been a nice guy, but that's not why he was nice to Saul. He was under Saul's submission. You remove that leadership thing, he's ready to mess with Abner. And as a matter of fact, look at David's loyalty. David is mad at Abner for not protecting Saul, the man who's trying to kill David. Golly, David was an awesome man, awesome leader. The spear. Understand, if you're joining us for the first time in a while tonight or first time ever, the spear plays an important part. Why? Because Saul has tried to kill David twice before with a spear. In 1 Samuel 18:11, it says, "And Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice." A chapter later, same thing happens, different occasion. 1 Samuel 19:10, "Then Saul sought to pin David to the wall with a spear, but he slipped away from Saul's presence, and he drove the spear into the wall, so David fled and escaped that night." Saul tried to kill David twice. And there's that spear. I think it's probably the same spear. Matter of fact, Saul later, because he just carried the spear around everywhere and felt like he had to throw it at somebody, later, 1 Samuel 20:32 and 33, says, "And Jonathan, his son, answered Saul, his father, and said to him," talking about David, "why should he be killed? What has he done? Then Saul cast the spear at him, his son, to kill him, by which Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to kill David." You know what I've learned? If you carry around spears, you're going to throw them at somebody. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing as believers and followers of Jesus. And some of us have honed the fine art of throwing spears at other people. And Jesus is saying, put the spears down. If you're going to follow me, put the spear down. Part of David's training in leadership was not to learn how to throw a spear, but learn how not to throw a spear. Because if you walk around with a spear, friend, sooner or later, you're going to throw them at somebody you love. It's going to happen. Put the spear down. The amazing thing is David is refusing to use a weapon that Saul was willing to use against him. Now, what possible practical application could that have? You ever get mad because somebody gossips about you? You ever gossip about anybody? As a matter of fact, when you hear somebody has said something about you, there is that moment when somebody is relaying this information where you're going, "Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Let me tell you about them." But if you do that, you're guilty of the same crime. And there's something of integrity about David that he's not willing to do that. He's willing to rise above it. And I think long before David ever dealt with a Goliath, David dealt with the giants in his own life, a fear and insecurity and running his mouth about other people and trying to throw spears at people. He killed the giants in his own life. And when that happened, God started bringing giants, other giants, for him to kill too, knowing he had developed a real leader.
Thank you for listening to David McGee with Cross the Bridge Ministries. David's heart is to help you beyond our radio program. We will continue teaching the Word of God and bringing hope through the power of the Scriptures. We know that these are unusual times, so we want to share with you many of our online tools. Please check out youareloved.org to take advantage of these free resources. Our daily devotional has a helpful reading plan, thoughts from the Scripture, and practical life lessons to help encourage you. On youareloved.org, you can find full-length teachings from Pastor David and his assisting pastors. Maybe you're not able to attend services at your local church right now. Visit youareloved.org so you can join us live on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, these are free resources to help you anytime, day or night, during these difficult times. Now, back to David McGee.
Verse 17, "Then Saul knew David's voice and said, 'Is that your voice, my son David?' And David said, 'It is my voice, my lord, O king.'" Let's remember, Saul is David's father-in-law. Verse 18, "And he said, 'Why does my lord thus pursue his servant? For what have I done? What evil is in my hand? Now therefore, please let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. If I've done wrong, I'll make an offering as unto the Lord. But if it is the children of men, may they be cursed before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from sharing in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods.'" One of the things that was really bumming David about
he was bumming him out about all this. It was the fact that he couldn't be in Israel, which was the land that God had given to them as an inheritance. And not only that, but he was having to run around. He couldn't be in those places of worship. And it would appear from the statement that more than being in the desert, more than running around, the thing that really bothered him is the fact that he couldn't have fellowship with other people seeking the Lord in his own land. Does it bother you to miss church? It should bother you when you miss the fellowship of the Lord, when you miss the fellowship of other brothers and sisters. Why? Because there's something special. There's something encouraging that happens in that atmosphere. In verse 20, it says, "So now do not let my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one hunts a partridge in the mountains." And again, I think Saul's getting bad counsel. He's listening to bad counsel. David got bad counsel, but he didn't listen to it. It's not the bad counsel that derails people. It's listening to bad counsel. I hear all these yahoos on the radio and all these talk show hosts on the television. I don't watch them. I don't need to watch them. I don't care what they say. I could care less what Oprah has to say about anything, because she is so ungodly. I mean, she's talking about there's so many ways to heaven. Is that what Jesus said? Why would you go to somebody like that for counsel or advice? That's bad counsel. That's bad counsel. As a matter of fact, anybody that's not in this book, that's not a follower of Jesus, be very careful about listening to any counsel they have, because it's probably bad. You got to be careful enough about people that say they're following Jesus, much less people that openly aren't following Jesus trying to give you counsel. Why would you go to somebody like that? Well, they've been professionally trained. In what? And Jung and Maslow and all these guys and all this sordid garbage and all this hierarchy needs of man and all this stuff that has nothing to do with the Bible, and that's who you think you should follow? I'm following Jesus. The life lesson, don't listen to bad counsel or advice. Don't listen to bad counsel or advice. I'm not saying you don't ever need to sit with somebody and get biblical principles applied to your life. That's not what I'm saying. There are times when you need that. There are times when I need that. But part of the process should be identifying those people who have fruit in their life. And if they don't have fruit in their life, don't take their counsel. Because basically, there's fruitlessness in that. And see, in this instance, you have David who received bad counsel, didn't take it. You have Saul, I think, received bad counsel and did take it. Verse 21. Then Saul said, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will harm you no more. Because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly." I have played the fool. I have erred exceedingly. It's not the first time Saul said something like this. Sadly enough, we'll see that he really doesn't mean it. How do we know he doesn't mean it? Because there's no actions. There's no actions. You see, there's a lot of people in the world that are sorry for the things they've done. But they've yet to come to Jesus. They've yet to turn from the things that they're doing to the Lord. Now, Pastor David, are you saying that we're saved by works? Absolutely not. We're saved by grace. Grace alone. Through faith. But we're saved by a faith that works. Your faith, Book of James talks about this, your faith should begin to change your life. Slowly but surely, there should be changes in your life. We don't see these changes in Saul. We see Saul getting busted and go, I'm sorry. I'm still going to try to kill you, but I'm sorry. Is he really sorry? No, the Bible talks about the fact that there's a sorrow that leads to death. But what does that mean? I'm sorry I got busted. Sorry I got caught. Sorry I've been inconvenienced. Sorry you know about it. And then there's, Lord, I'm sorry, man. Lord, I messed up. Will you please help me not to do this again? Because I really want to follow you and I really want to serve you. Every one of us has sinned. Every one of us has played the fool. What we do with that decides not only how this life goes, but decides your eternity. Verse 22. And David answered and said, "Here is the king's spear. Let one of the young men come over and get it. May the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hand today, but I would not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed." You know what David had learned? And this is going to be a very valuable lesson in his life. And it's the next life lesson. Trust God to deal with people. Trust God to deal with people. Jesus tells us how to interact with people. He says, love them, pray for them, talk to them,
But don't throw spears at them. Don't hate them. You realize you can't change anybody? Do you realize I can't change anybody? I can be used by God to help people change. But I can't change you. If I could come out to you right now and sprinkle Holy Spirit dust on you and change your life, I would do it. As a matter of fact, I've joked before, I'd buy a crop duster and drive it over the triad, spraying that Holy Spirit dust on everybody. Praise God, we're all changed. I can't do that. You can't change people in your life. You can pray for them. You can be used by God as an instrument of change. But you yourself, you don't have power to do that, friend. We can't change people, especially the people that don't want to change. And sometimes we get really frustrated in our lives thinking we can change people. And we get mad at them when we realize we can't change them. And we get mad at them. Verse 24. And indeed, as your life was valued much this day in my eyes, so let my life be valued much in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, may you be blessed, my son David. You shall both do great things and also still prevail. So David went on his way and Saul returned to his place. Your attention, please. What an interesting contrast we have here. What an interesting contrast of Saul and David. Now, David knows he's going to be king. And David refuses to kill Saul, even though he knows this. Saul knows David is supposed to be king, but Saul is still trying to kill him. He's fighting against the plan of God. I wonder how many people in here are doing that tonight. You're fighting against the plan of God. God's laid out a plan. He's made it clear. You're fighting against it. Friend, I hope you got a lot of energy. I hope you're ready to run long and hard. And I hope you really like being heartbroken and lonely, because that's what you're headed towards. If you really enjoy those things, friend, go for it. Fight against the plan of God for yourself. I don't want to do that anymore. Who do you want to be like? Do you want to be like a Saul or do you want to be like a David? Let me ask you a question. How are you handling your enemies? Tells a lot about whether you're a Saul or whether you're David. If you're running around trying to throw spears at your enemies, guess what? You're a Saul. If you run around refusing to throw spears at your enemy, you might be a David. Now, each one of us has done both, and each one of us has played the fool. Each one of us has messed up in our lives. Each and every one of us have sinned. The question is, what will you do with that sin? What will you do with that knowledge? What will you do with the knowledge tonight that Jesus Christ died so that you could be forgiven of those sins? Many in here have come to Jesus one time and said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I'm asking you to come into my life. I want to be born again. But let me ask you a question. Do you come to him on a daily basis like that? Because see, there's a lot of people in here tonight that drug baggage in with them. That's the bad news. The good news is you don't have to take it back out. You can leave it tonight. As a matter of fact, Jesus is asking for you to give him the baggage. Imagine this. Jesus is here tonight saying, you know what? Your broken, sin-stained life, I'll exchange it. You give me that. I'll give you my robes of righteousness. Your misery and your heartbrokenness, you give me that. I'll give you joy and peace. The life where you feel like you're dying every day, you give me that. I'll give you eternal life. Who doesn't want to make that exchange? And what happens at this point in service, a lot of people go, oh, yeah, yeah, I've already done this. Praise God. Not moving. I'm sitting here. Not coming forward. But friend, if you're not doing this every day, you're not really doing it. Every day of my life, I have to come to Jesus afresh and say, Jesus, forgive me. I did this yesterday. I did that yesterday. Please forgive me. Jesus says, okay.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that he died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask him to forgive you. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Before we go, have you been listening to the teachings through the book of 1 Samuel? We've handpicked some of these teachings that will encourage your prayer life. Pastor Neil, can you tell us more?
Yeah, Bob, we all hunger for a deeper connection with the Lord. And Pastor David shares through past living examples how to have that deeper connection. So when you give a gift today, we're going to send you, for your generosity, Praying Through 1 Samuel. It's a 4-CD series that will encourage you in a deeper relationship with the Lord.
And as you step out on faith and give a gift to Cross the Bridge today, we will send this in appreciation for your generosity. Again, please visit crossthebridge.com to give today and get your copy of Praying Through 1 Samuel.
We would also like to encourage you to grab Pastor David's daily devotional. Each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with this email devotional. Life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Hey, and it's easy and it's free. You can just sign up today on crossthebridge.com. Well, folks, thanks for listening and tune in next time as David McGee continues teaching verse by verse through 1 Samuel.